I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we are here at Twin Peaks, and we invite you to come on down because, Jimmy, there's always something going on at Twin Peaks, and the hope is that at some point it will be the SEC tournament.
Yes, Ryan already playing havoc with that, but Tennessee, knowing it's the one seed, supposed to play at 5:30 tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we shall see. But, hey, they've got you'll be able to watch SEC baseball here. They've always got a lot of sporting events going on here. The French Open is underway. You can watch a variety of things. There'll be some golf later in the week that you can catch up on. But, God, they've got so many flat-screen TVs. They've got so many different sports to show. Right now they're showing some women's golf. They got ESPN shows as well. So it's a great place to come, hang out, eat some fantastic food, and get some chilled beer, which typically is under 30 degrees.
Yeah, now 26.8.
Yes.
26.8 Fahrenheit. So there's, again, plenty of reasons to come down to Twin Peaks, which is where we are today. And we've got a lot in store. We look forward to being joined by Vince Ferrara, as he'll join us for hour number two, as he does on Tuesdays for Vince's Views. And then, Jimmy, we also look forward to our regularly scheduled guest as he joins us. He's good to join us maybe two, sometimes three times a month, and that is the Tennessee Director of Athletics.
Yes, and so hopefully that'll work out, but I've sent some text messages, and hopefully we'll get that done. But he joins us every other Tuesday. And, God, they just hired a track coach, so that's something to ask him about as well.
Yes, and it looks like right in line with a number of hires that Danny White has made. He, one, it was very quick. It was to the point, and it's pretty obvious. He knows what he's looking for when it's time to fill a vacancy.
Yeah, he does. He does. So, and he has gone outside of Tennessee, and he has stayed inside of Tennessee with the three hires that he's made. In soccer, he stayed within the program. With women's golf, he went outside the program. With director of track, he went outside the program. So, and then with the football coach, he went to somebody he was familiar with.
Yes, very
so,
familiar with.
Yeah, so he's a different angles there for the different hires that he has made. And you know, we'll see how this one works out. But the track coach comes with a very good resume.
Very much so. And but anyhow, we look forward to catching up with him. That'll be to start hour number three of the program. And then later in that same hour, it's Tuesday, so not only is it Vince Ferrara, it's John McClain. As he'll join us from Houston to talk about the National Football League. And then after the sports picks at 6, can't wait to hear what it's been like for VFL Rusty Enzer to watch this Tennessee baseball team compete this year, as he will be with us at 6:15, and then also was able to catch up with Evan Russell, Tennessee catcher, and now two-time graduate. We talk about the pitching staff. We talk about the honors that came Tennessee's way from the Southeastern Conference and one that didn't. So it's a really good conversation, but of course, if you get to spend any time with Evan Russell, Jimmy, you'll find yourself in a very enjoyable conversation.
I was there at one of his media avails earlier this year, and he was talking about trying to catch Ben Joyce.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it wouldn't be bad if he'd pluck somebody, you know, just to, so that they wouldn't dig in that 105-mile-an-hour fastball.
Right. Hit the mascot, yeah, just like Bull Durham.
Yeah,
Crash Davis.
Let's get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people that you can trust. I'm sure y'all went over this, but I do want to get your take on this because I didn't get to hear anything yesterday. So Tennessee racked up with a lot of the honors. I saw where Trey Lipscomb was the SEC Player of the Year in one poll, but not in another. Can you distinguish which ones?
Correct. Yeah. He did not get the SEC. He did not get the award from the conference coaches. He got it from the USA Today network that covers the Southeastern Conference. So he was Player of the Year in that regard. But the coaches... It was a near clean sweep for Tennessee, with Tony Vitello being coach of the year, player of the year, or I should say pitcher of the year being Chase Dolander, freshman of the year being Drew Beam, but SEC player of the year from the conference coaches was split between Dylan Cruz at LSU and Sonny DeShera, the first baseman at Auburn.
And Dylan Cruz was second team all SEC according to USA Today.
Yeah.
Second team. Okay. The numbers, the guy from Auburn led the league in hitting, right, by a pretty substantial margin?
Correct.
But he didn't have nearly the run RBIs as Lipscomb.
Right.
So, yeah, I can't say it was a slam dunk, but I would have voted for Trey Lipscomb in that award. I think he was deserving. Dolander was deserving. I've seen two different deals on this. Freshman of the year, Drew Beam. Freshman of the year, Chase Burns.
Correct.
So
Beam from the conference coaches, Burns from the USA Today Network. Yeah.
So, but congratulations to all of them. And by the way, let's don't forget the all defensive team from Drew Gilbert. So, but a lot of Tennessee players. By the way, USA Today second team relief pitcher Ben Joyce.
Correct.
Did you? And I thought when I saw that, my first thought was, what about Redmond Walsh?
Right.
Was that a pretty close call? Do you think? Or did the 105.5 mile an hour get somebody's attention?
I think that was it. Because
yeah.
Redmond did not, I think, get any of that. I'm not going to say he didn't get consideration. Did not make the final list when it came to either of the polls, or I should say the teams that were announced. But I do think that it was the 105.5 and just being, as Tony Vitello said with us several times, the, when the circus comes to town.
Yeah.
But I also do think that when Coach joined us yesterday, he said as he rode from Starkville over to Hoover with student assistant Ricky Martinez that in his eyes that if you were just to see how strong Trey Lipscomb is at third base, how impactful he is on Tennessee's infield in something that has absolutely nothing to do with offense, that to him would be the easy final straw in terms of in getting the vote. And he, of course, he can't vote for his own guys. But I just thought that that's a very big part of the conversation that maybe didn't take place. And I do think that Trey Lipscomb should have been the player of the year from the Southeastern Conference. But that's the only thing that kept Tennessee from the clean sweep in terms of the major on-field awards. And we'll say congratulations to Anderson, the center fielder at Georgia, for being the scholar athlete of the year.
Do you think when people vote, it's like, no, wait a minute, I voted for three Tennessee players. I'm not going to vote for a fourth? Do you think that plays into it, or do you think, as I think they should, you take the pitcher of the year and then dissect it? You take coach of the year and dissect it. You take player of the year and dissect it. You keep it separate. Do you think there was some Tennessee fatigue on the ballot?
There could be, but I'm like you. I would hope they would just look at it as each individual place, and in this instance, each individual award. Because I do think that you don't have to apologize if you voted for DeShera or for Cruz because they were both outstanding. But I also think that when you look at the three campaigns that the young men that we're talking about had, I just find that Trey Lipscomb had the very best all-around year of the trio.
All right, Tennessee football. They've got a five-star from the class of 2023 coming in to visit. His name is Samuel Mapimba. He is from IMG Academy. He's class of 2023. He's going to visit June 9 to 12. He has played wide receiver, then tight end, then defensive end, then outside linebacker. He is the number two rated athlete in the country, number 16 overall player, number five player in the state of Florida, 6'4", 230. He is from St. Louis. Notre Dame and Oregon are also in the picture. Tennessee also expected to get a visit from class of 2023 wide receiver Aiden Mizell. He is going to visit May the 26th. He is from Orlando. The four-star is the number 23 receiver in the country, the number 29 player in the state of Florida. And also James Robinson, who is transferred from Tennessee, is going to South Alabama. He is posted. He is from Montgomery, Alabama. All right, a couple of tennis notes. Tennessee men's tennis, they have added LSU transfer Boris Kozlov. He's from the state of Florida. He had played 4 years at LSU. He was 18-10 last year. He has played 4-5 in singles for LSU, so he'll come in to Tennessee. Tennessee with that disappointing 5-0 loss to Virginia in the semifinals, still a great year. You get to the semis 2 years in a row, the final four 2 years in a row, that's pretty strong. But when you lose 5-0 to Virginia, now, why was it 5-0? Because two matches ended simultaneously in singles. So Tennessee ends up getting beat by Virginia, but I know Chris Woodruff have a really good team again next year. They've also got individuals and doubles player that will be playing in the NCAA championships. Now, on the women's side, they have already started their individual, and then Rebecca Martina. She lost in the first round to the number 7 seed, who was from USC. It was in split sets. She lost the first set 6-1, 1-7-6, then lost 6-3. Doubles will play today. Tanika McGiffin and Daria Kazer will be for the Lady Vols playing in doubles today. So we'll see how they fare. All right, a few other notes out there with Justin Thomas winning the PGA, coming back from 7 shots. It tied the biggest comeback in PGA history. He also was the first player in almost over 40 years to have his first two PGA wins be first two majors be the PGA Championship. NFL discussing the future of the Pro Bowl. There is some talk about not even having tackling in the game. They're going to decide that this summer.
They kind of didn't have any tackling this year.
So that, I was like, well, that's not a real change.
Yeah.
They also are talking about, you know, many of the stars have backed out. The ratings are down a little bit. They've had the All-Star game since 1938. They have tried to figure out ways to keep the audience. I really don't know a good way to do it because guys that are making $10, $15, $30, $40 million a year don't want to get hurt. And fans want to see stars.
Right.
So it's kind of a tough situation to put that together.
And to think, not only was there that All-Star game where they went full out, but it used to be the defending champions against the college All-Stars.
I remember that.
And that was – and you couldn't come close to getting that being able to play today because how many players would opt out just saying, I don't want to get hurt before the draft?
Gosh, I remember watching one of those games. It was in the 60s, and Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers were playing for the college team.
Wow.
That's the first time I'd ever seen them play, and I thought that I can remember, but I thought, boy, they're pretty good. Yeah, they were pretty good. All right, Louisville basketball. Oh, I meant to get to this earlier. Sorry. Tennessee has hired a track coach. They have hired Dwayne Ross. He was a hurdler, outstanding hurdler. He was an NCAA champion in 1995. He was an Olympian in 2004. In 2021, he was a co-national coach of the year. He has signed a five-year deal with Tennessee. He met with the players today, and they will seek a distance coach to join him. But he was at Clemson, where he was a hurdler. He's been at North Carolina A&T since 2012. His team is ranked number one in indoors. And he's got 25 competing in the NCAAs, 13 men, 12 women. And he will stay at North Carolina A&T until their season concludes. They're in Bloomington, Indiana right now. All right. Also, with the French Open, Naomi Osaka losing in the first round to the number 27 seed, Amanda Anisimova, who beat her earlier. That's two straight wins for Anisimova. Who's 20 years old. She's from the New Jersey area. Also a first-round loss for the defending champion, Barbara Krejcikova. And she went in with an injury to the elbow. She had not actually been playing since February, but she lost to a 19-year-old, Diane Perry, who was 1-5 in majors. Nadal wins in three sets. You got Novak Djokovic winning easily. Riley Opelka, former winner of the Knoxville Challenger, lost in straight sets. And then Taylor Fritz of the United States won in five sets. Iga Swiatek on the women's side, she was a winner, and she's as the number one seed, she is favored to win it. All right, so Boston beats the Heat 102-82, and I'm sitting there thinking, when are we going to have a close game in the NBA playoffs? My goodness. How about this? The Miami Heat starters, I thought this was a misprint as I was kind of following along the box scores. The Miami Heat starters scored 18 points. That's the fewest points by starting lineup in an NBA playoff game going back to when they first started keeping track of this in 1970 and 71.
Wow.
I just thought, you got to be kidding me. 18 points, that's what the starter scored? Jason Tatum scored 31 himself. Boston led 26-4. The Heat missed 15 of the first 16 shots. It really wasn't a game. The starters for the Heat were 7 of 36. And the Heat scored 1 point in the first 8 minutes. So another blowout in the playoffs. Boston up it's tied 2-2. Golden State's up on Dallas 3-0. Looks like that one might be pretty much over. A couple of other notes. You got to like this one. Alabama just got a former commit from Texas A&M. Yes. So Alabama gets quarterback Eli Holstein. He had been committed to A&M. He commits. He's now going to Alabama. He's 6'3", 215. He's from Zachary, Louisiana, rated the number 59 overall prospect in the country. And I wasn't really sure how to do this. It said of the quarterbacks available, I don't know how many were available in that class, he was the number 3 ranked quarterback available. So Alabama poaches a player from A&M who had decommitted. You gotta love it. How about the irony in that one? He committed A&M in June of 2021, decommitted in March. The NFL Combine will stay in Indianapolis in 2023-2024. And Dwayne Haskins, a quarterback who was tragically killed, he was walking on the interstate in South Florida. According to reports, he was legally drunk when he was killed. His blood alcohol, I don't know why they posted two different numbers, 0.20, 0.24. 0.08 is the legal limit, And but it still, it's a tragedy that he was killed. And I thought he still had a future in the NFL. Didn't take as quickly as some had thought, but I still thought he could have been a decent quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I thought he had a fantastic opportunity. And, you know, when you hear the news of just the horrible accident that took place, you hear that he was getting ready to go. He was heading to workouts.
Yeah.
But, boy, that's just such a shame to know that there was something that played a hand in that regard, because it, you couldn't help but wonder, why are you walking along an interstate to begin with, trying to cross one?
Early in the morning,
too. Yes.
Real early in the morning. So, yeah, he'd run out of gas and just, I don't know. But then that begs the question, if it's that early in the morning, what happened the night before?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's still a sad story to lose Dwayne Haskins.
Yep.
He was a first-round draft pick in the NFL.
Very much so. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we're at Twin Peaks, where right now the three digits you need to know, 28.3. That's what the beer is coming across the line at.
That's pretty good. I think that's what I ran the 200 meter in, but I don't know if I went that fast. But yes, if you'd have put a beer at the finish line,
yeah,
absolutely, I'd have made it in that
14.9.
Time.
Yeah. So, and it's really cool when they have the opportunity to do this. I'm sure you've been to Twin Peaks when they've got, we'll just say, flaps down, because it might be not the greatest weather outside, but now flaps are up, Jimmy, and they've got you've got the cool air. You've got an open air experience where we are set up today, and that's one of the cool things about this venue.
Well, it really is, and it's one of the reasons I enjoy coming here, and it feels great right now. My goodness, and we had a pretty hot weekend, but it feels really good right now. And hey, great time to come by and check it out. It's not real crowded right now. Come by and grab you a bite to eat, watch a bunch of sporting events on TV, get that chill beer, make it a good day.
Sure does. You can't go wrong.
All right, a couple of other notes out there. In recruiting in basketball, so far, this is for the class of 2023, Texas Tech is ranked number one, Notre Dame and Mike Bray number two, Penn State three, Ohio State four. The first SEC team to show up at number five, Tennessee. Then Arkansas at number six. And then how about this? Georgia and Mike White at number seven. And number 10, LSU. So I just saw that basketball poll released recently. I believe that was on 247. So that's the ranking that they have, which paints Tennessee in a really, really positive light. A year ago, Aaron Judge decided he wasn't going to sign like this $230 million contract. Now he hit two home runs yesterday. He's got 17. He leads the major leagues in home runs. It's looking like he does a pretty good bet on himself.
Yep.
To do that. And, of course, with these people with these $300, $350 million contracts, that's probably what he's wanting. Now, he has not been a terrifically productive hitter the last couple of years. But, boy, if you do it at the right time, which he's doing it so far, he's going to be in line for a massive contract.
He is, and I also think that it benefits him not only leading the league in home runs as he is, but also if he can prove that he can play at least 150 games, maybe 140 games. That's going to be something that helps him, which unfortunately for his sake, he's just spent a lot of time on the shelf over the last couple of seasons.
I bet you he doesn't opt out on – he won't be into this load management this year.
Yeah.
We can do that next year. I want to get as many home runs, as many RBIs as I can get this year, because that's cha-ching. So,
very much so.
He's in the Yankees, look, they're off to a great start. Their pitching has been really good. Stanton's hitting home runs, too. They've got a really nice team. But Judge is leading the way so far.
Very much so, and that's why they're the number one team in Major League Baseball right now. We can tell you in the top of the seventh, it's Alabama 5, Georgia 1. That's the score that's been in place since the top of the third after the Bulldogs got a home run in the bottom of the second. They have been able to resume. So, as I mentioned, they're now seventh inning stretch. But this is the first game of what they hoped would be four today. And
first?
Wow. Yes. And you're already an hour and a half past what they would have hoped as when they put together the tentative schedule, just like you see for any bracket. The hope is that it's 3.5 hours from the first game to the second game and maybe 25, 30 minutes in between. But so the second game on today's schedule, already an hour and a half past what they would pencil in as the desired start time. They're going to try and play four, and who knows if you're expecting more thunderstorms potentially around 4 in the afternoon Central Time.
Trivia question, when's the last time the SEC baseball tournament didn't get 2 hours behind schedule?
Well, last year didn't really run into that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So blessed with weather that did not – there were some stoppages in other games aside from the ones that Tennessee played in, but I did not encounter, nor did the Vols, a single rain delay or really wonky start time.
Well, they're making up for it this year.
That they are. And if it gets bad enough, they have it set up to where there is, on the campus that is that sports complex, they have a field that is identical dimensions. And if they have to play two games at the same time, they have that capability.
Ah, okay. Well, they can play catch-up.
They can. Yeah. And here's hoping they don't have to, because that would make it tough on the fans that are there to watch their teams play.
Louisville in men's basketball, they've hired Milt Wagner. He's the director of player development, one of the best players that Louisville has ever had. So he is joining that staff. John, I touched on this earlier with the NBA playoffs. I'm not having much enjoyment because I like to at least watch a competitive game.
Right.
The game last night was almost over in the first quarter when it was a 20-point deficit. The game before, the Heat led the Celtics by 20-something. That was basically it's over. I don't know that it's all about three-point shooting. A lot of times teams will try to get back into it for that, but for whatever reason, we're just seeing these ridiculous one-sided games from one to the next. And, you know, the thing that intrigues me, and I've always differed slightly from this, but I'll explain it this way. I hear so many people talk about, well, when you get in the NCAA tournament, it's all about matchups. No, it's about matchups and how you play.
Yes.
Because if you look at what Boston and Miami are doing, how do you sit there and say, oh, this matchup favors this team, and yet one game this one wins by 20, the other game the other one wins by 20? It's how they play. So I think that has as much to do with it as the, quote, matchups that people talk about. So I'm in that camp, and the playoffs seem to be supporting that because you never know from one night to the next whether somebody's going to win by 25 or lose by 25. Golden State's going to beat Dallas, right? So they're up 3-0. So I had mentioned to you I was leaning toward Boston if Marcus Smart played and Horford played. And then the Heat beat them. Without Jimmy Butler.
Right.
So I'm like, really? So now you're at 2-2. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm still leaning toward Boston, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Heat win it. I would be shocked if the Heat starters only score 18 points in their next game. That's unbelievable to me. That's one of the most incredible stats I've seen in the playoffs in a long time.
Well, it's almost unfathomable that you would have a situation like that. Because, again, you're talking about less than 4 points per starter. And you would think at least somebody would bank in a three or something. I mean, that just something goofy would happen to make sure that it would be a little bit more than 18 points.
Yeah, where's Wayne Chisholm when you need him?
Yeah, so, but it really is ridiculous in how quickly a game, it's almost like, well, not our night. Let's hit the reserves for the next game.
So the starters from Miami, as we mentioned earlier, 7-for-36 from the field. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, but they didn't play in the fourth quarter. That's right, because they were getting beat so badly, the coach pulled them to rest them. Could they have gotten to 20 points if they had played in the fourth quarter? Probably.
I think so. I think maybe even 22.
but they were so bad leading into the fourth quarter, they just said, okay, this is enough of that, so they did get benched. Now, I have no idea what happened. Well, again, they haven't, according to what I read, they haven't been keeping this kind of stats since 1970-71. And so it's the fewest points that ever on record for starters in a playoff game. But it just amazes me. And I just have had trouble getting into the playoff games because they're so one-sided. It's like they're over almost before they really get started in a individual game.
Yeah, and you would think that maybe, okay, you can draw a correlation to whether a team is at home or on the road. But no, both teams have won by 20 at home. Both teams have lost by 20 at home. And, I mean, we're not that far removed from the World Series where the home team didn't win a single game. And then, of course, wasn't maybe the series before or a couple series before that the home team didn't lose.
Yeah.
So it is Very interesting, and I'm like you. It just doesn't seem possible that you would have a matchup like this where there would be no contested games through the first four.
It's just kind of confounding to see it going that direction. And, in fact, we've had very few down-to-the-wire kind of games. I think the Celtics and Bucks had maybe a couple of those. But so many of them just been one-sided games. And one of the things that you can look at two things probably to decide this. One, look at points off turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big stat for some teams that get blown out. And the other one is look at the three-point shooting. I mean, if you go 7 for 38 from three-point range, it's a pretty good chance you're going to lose that game.
Yes.
So that's another one to watch for is the discrepancy in the three-point shooting. And just the different – one team makes 23s, the other one makes 7. Okay? That's 39 points difference. So that's huge. And so that's another stat that I really follow closely in, when I look at the box score after a game, which kind of underscores why this was a blowout. The other team had a bunch of points off turnovers, and they made a whole bunch more three-pointers. And that combination, you're probably going to get beat by 20 points or more.
Because if one team is filling it up from three, that's tough enough. But then if you continue to add to their point total by making it easy for them to get either more open threes or transition points, you might as well call in the dogs.
Yeah.
And so, put out the fire.
Yeah, and so it's just been kind of crazy. I don't remember NBA playoffs with this many one-sided games, especially this deep into it. And I don't know, maybe it'll continue, but hopefully we'll have a couple of close games. It'll be more entertaining than what we have seen so far.
Yeah, and then you've got the Warriors, as you mentioned, laying waste to the Mavericks. I really thought Phoenix was going to rule the West, but since they didn't make it out of their own arena as they got boat raced, as they were down 20 at the half.
This was kind of interesting. Now, sometimes
I think it was 30, actually.
Was it 30?
Yeah, I think it was 57-27.
You can have sometimes the guy will get a lot of garbage points. I get that. But I was reading this article the other day, didn't see the game, but I was reading where they were complimenting Andrew Wiggins for doing a terrific job defensively on Luka Doncic, who was held to 40 points. I'm like, really? And then he was held to 8 for 15 in the second half. He was held 8 for that? Really?
Yeah, that's 50%, better than 50%.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. Now, the game before, I think he did a heck of a job on Doncic, but this one, when a guy gets 40 and he shoots over 50%, I don't know. Now,
against anybody else, he would have had 60.
Yeah, that's what it was. I think the only other guy that maybe may have had a decent game for Dallas was Dinwiddie coming off the bench. But, 40 points, I don't know, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. I don't know if I'd compliment somebody's defense for that. Although, the thing, he made him work for his points. Okay. Still got 40.
Yeah.
You know, he made him work for that home run. Still hit a home run.
Correct.
The ninth pitch, but it took a while. Yeah.
Well, look how many people had the approach that when going up against Chicago, it wasn't necessarily trying to limit what Michael Jordan did. It was to make sure that the other four didn't do something.
That's right.
That would perhaps be the difference in the game. And so I think I would point to the other four on the Warriors. I mean, and that's not to say that Wiggins wasn't deserving of some times that he made it difficult for Doncic, but 40 points, it's tough to say, man, that was outstanding.
Yeah, and again, there was a previous game where I would have given you a thumbs up because I watched some of that and I saw him do a tremendous job on Doncic, but the 40 points, I can't quite go there. But what Golden State's getting is production from a lot of people. It's Curry, it's Thompson, it's Draymond Green filling up a stat sheet, it's Jordan Poole. It's one game where Kevin Looney gets 22 rebounds. They got a lot of different people that they have multiple players playing really well on a given night. And when you do that, you're going to be hard to beat. Dallas had two people that played well the other night, and they got beat. Golden State usually has about four that play well on a given night. So, but they're tough right now. And the thing about they pass the ball so well, they shoot it so well, and they're a really good defensive team. Now, that's the thing that gets lost a little bit with Golden State.
Yeah.
Even when they go to a smaller lineup, they still play pretty good defense.
Yep, yeah. they are very good, and it's going to be tough for whichever team emerges from the East to knock off the Warriors.
Yeah.
And this could be the start of another run for Golden State.
You know, it might be. They still have enough of the pieces. And they even when they had the little swoon there with some injuries and stuff, they kept a lot of those pieces together.
They did.
And it's paying off for them this year.
With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. The program today is at Twin Peaks right here on North Shore between Kingston Pike and Paper Mill. Let's say hello to Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Twin Peaks is opening up down here in Chattanooga. Are y'all going to come down and do a show on site here?
We've been to Chattanooga before,
yeah.
So not opposed to it.
I stopped in Ottawa.
You've been to Ottawa.
That's right.
Anyway, John, I was kind of triple tasking. I was taking a nap, watching tennis, and listening to y'all at the same time. And you mentioned the old college all-star game, and it sounded like you missed a thing or two. There was an old college all-star game, but they play it the next year after the previous season. So, like, the college all-stars of 2022 would play, I guess the Rams won the Super Bowl. They would play them usually around the middle of August, and they'd always play at Chicago and play at Soldiers Field, and it was generally recognized as the opening of the football season. And it was a pretty interesting game. I went back and checked. The first few years is pretty even. They finished 76 was the last game because obviously the NFL was worried about their players getting hurt.
The last conditions game, were horrible in that game. It was a driving rain. It was unplayable. And then they just said, well, if this is the best it's going to be, we don't have to do this.
Yeah. But the last time the All-Stars won was 63. They beat Vince Lombardi's 62 team that had won the NFL pre-Super Bowl back then. But here's something I thought was funny. The last one they won before that, the Detroit Lions won the NFL championship in 57, which is their last championship ever, which is, 65 years? And then they proceeded to lose to the All-Stars next year, 35-19.
Woof.
Only the Lions could do something like that.
Exactly.
But it was in also. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just said exactly.
One of the things that was interesting is that with that game played, was it in July or August? I don't remember which one. It was before the season.
Well, actually, it's interesting. I just looked. It was in the middle of August up until it finally moved to July in 70, when they kept moving back the season and creating more regular season games,
So you could have somebody in Green Bay's camp, and then he leaves to go play in the All-Star game against Green Bay.
Yeah, and then comes back the Monday after that.
So, yes, and
it
also,
interesting.
And Doug, I'm not 100% sure of this because it was a long time ago when I watched this, but I didn't always think that the NFL team was engaged and start and played all their starters all four quarters. That's what I kind of remember. Do you remember it that way?
Well, that's a good point, but on the other hand, it was pretty embarrassing back then for an NFL team to lose to the college all-stars, I would think.
It would have been.
I guess you look at it from both ways. But and the other thing is the old NFL Pro Bowl, that was a big deal back when the players didn't make anything. They might make $10,000 a season and make $1,000 or $2,000 playing in the Pro Bowl. So that was a pretty big deal back then for them.
But now that you're making $40 million,
Yeah, not worth getting hurt for it.
No, it's not.
Great show, guys. See ya.
Sure do appreciate it, Doug. We'll get a break when we return. Hour number two of the program. That means Vince's Views. Stay with us. Sports Talk rolls on from Twin Peaks, 135 North Shore between Kingston Pike and Paper Mill on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.